Where are you going? Dinner. Are there good news?
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
Election Day 2020, just around the corner. Only 504 days, 25 minutes and 30 seconds.
President Trump just had his newsiest non-Fox interview.
27, 26.
Since he said this to Lester Holt way back in May of 2017.
Regardless of recommendation, I was going to fire Comey, knowing there was no good time to do it. And in fact, when I decided to just do it, I said to myself, I said, you know, this Russia thing with Trump and Russia is a made-up story. It's an excuse by the Democrats for having lost an election.
Now, Trump has revealed a lot in his latest interview with George Stephanopoulos. He said he would accept foreign help in the next election. He accused his own former White House counsel of breaking the law by lying to Robert Mueller. And here's his answer verbatim when he was asked if he thinks Kim Jong-un is still building nuclear weapons. I'm going to quote and read it here. I don't know. I hope not. He promised me he wouldn't be. He promised me he wouldn't be testing. I think he'd like to meet again, and I think he likes me a lot.
Didn't examine collusion. He laid out evidence of obstruction.
Oh, are you trying to say now that there was collusion, even though he said there is no collusion?
He didn't say there's no collusion.
He said no collusion.
He said he didn't look at
George.
Collusion.
The report said no collusion.
Did you read the report?
Yes, I did, and you should read it, too.
I read
Come on,
it.
Come on, let's go. You should read it, too.
Oh, he's getting out of there. He's hustling out of there as fast as he can.
But if you answer these questions to me now, why not answer them to Robert Mueller under oath?
Because the world is round.
They were looking to get us for lies, for slight misstatements.
He hired you didn't answer questions
people.
On obstruction.
Oh, wait a minute. I did answer questions. I answered them in writing.
Not on
I don't
obstruction.
Know about this. I don't know. I answered a lot of questions. They gave me questions. I answered them in writing.
Not on obstruction.
Look, George, you're being a little wise guy.
Why do you always have to be so snide?
I don't mean to be snide.
No, you don't mean to be. It just comes natural.
You're being a tiny news leprechaun. You're being an itty-bitty Greek hobbit. Look, I don't answer questions from the Lollipop Guild.
Robert Mueller said he's not reaching decision, could not exonerate you. And he laid out all that evidence. More than 1,000 formal federal prosecutors.
Oh, that's for the old politician. Hey, George, look, I know more about prosecutors than you'll ever know.
I knew they were cops. Only cops talk that way. If they had been wise guys, I wouldn't have heard a thing.
Your campaign this time around, if foreigners, if Russia, if China, if someone else offers you information on an opponent, should they accept it or should they call the FBI?
I think maybe you do both. I think you might want to listen. There's nothing wrong with listening.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
Should he have gone to the FBI when he got that email?
Okay, let's put yourself in a position. You're a congressman. Somebody comes up and says, hey, I have information on your opponent. Do you call the FBI?
I don't think it's coming from Russia.
I'll tell you what,
you do.
I've seen a lot of things over my life. I don't think in my whole life I've ever called the FBI. In my whole life, you don't call the FBI. You throw somebody out of your office, you do whatever
you do. Al Gore got a stolen briefing book, he called the FBI.
Well, that's different, a stolen briefing book. This isn't a stolen, this is somebody that said, we have information on your opponent. Oh, let me call the FBI. Give me a break. Life doesn't work that way.
The FBI director says that's what should happen.
The FBI director is wrong.
I don't think in my whole life I've ever called the FBI is a truly insane thing to say. People usually don't call the FBI, except when they're in a very specific situation that clearly requires them to do so. That's kind of how that works. I have never called Emilio Estevez. As a general rule, in one's everyday life, one does not call Emilio Estevez. But if I found a wallet on the street with Emilio Estevez's driver's license and contact information, I'd call Emilio Estevez because that's what the situation requires. Okay, so second, let's take his give me a break, life doesn't work that way. It is genuinely fascinating to watch Trump project his own immoral awfulness onto the rest of humanity. Oh, so you see a baby stroller about to roll down a hill and what, you're gonna stop it? Give me a break, life doesn't work out that way. You stand there, you watch and you laugh. Everybody knows this and everybody agrees. Give me a break, give me a break on that one. And finally, the FBI director is wrong. He's basically saying laws are a matter of opinion and you can trust your Uncle Don on this one. But of course that is not true, which is why the head of the Federal Election Commission put out a statement reminding all of us that it is illegal to accept anything of value from a foreign country in connection with a US election. And when foreign governments seek to influence American politics, it is always to advance their own interests, not America's. She tweeted that statement out with a note reading, I would not have thought that I needed to say this.
It makes me cry because the sky is blue.
Should they accept it or should they call the
FBI? I think But throughout the interview, it becomes clear that Trump sees himself as a performer above all else, even asking for a second take in an Oval Office interview.
When you will see my financial statement at some point, I assume it's going to be released, you'll be very impressed with the job I've done. Much, much bigger, much, much better than anybody. They're after my financial statement. The Senate, they'd like to get my financial statement. At some point, I hope they get it.
You're going to turn it over?
No, at some point, I might. But at some point, I hope they get it because it's a fantastic financial statement. It's a fantastic financial statement. And let's do that over. He's coughing in the middle of my answer because it's a fantastic financial statement.
Yeah, okay.
I don't like that, you know?
Your chief of staff.
If you're going to cough, please leave the room.
Get a shot of, and I'll come over here.
You just can't.
Just to change the shot.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Trump.
Okay, do you want to do that a little differently then?
Yeah, we just changed the angle.
Okay.
Yep. Thank you.
So at some point, I look forward to, frankly, I'd like to have people see my financial statement. Because it's phenomenal. No, it's not up to me. It's up to lawyers. It's up to everything else.
There's so much going on in that clip that sort of perfectly embodies the. But the first is just the, do you want to do another take?
No, the first is the number of lies he tells in a remarkably short period of time. You know, this is all he does now. He lies all the time. Virtually nothing he says is true. And so
he's conjured a financial statement, a fictional thing that the Senate wants, that he wants to release, that the lawyers won't let him, that does not exist.
None of it means anything.
Right.
And the right thing for, starve this sucker, Just stop listening.
Yeah.
Ignore everything he says.
To stop those monsters, 1, 2, 3. Here's a fresh new way that's trouble-free. It's got Paul Anka's guarantee.
Guarantee void in Tennessee. Just out luck, just out luck. Just out luck, just out luck.
I think he is, he has gone so far over. I mean, there was a point at which only about 20 or 30% of what he said was untrue. It's now 80 or 90%.
But at some point, I hope they get it because it's a
fantastic
financial statement. Let's do that over. He's coughing in the middle of my answer.
Yeah.
Wasn't even a hack. It really sounded more like a clearing of a throat. I mean, it was Mick Mulvaney. He may have been doing it because he didn't want the president to talk about his financials.
Now, it's not that I feel bad for Mick Mulvaney, but you know there's a pretty good chance they set up the cough as a signal and Trump forgot.
If I accidentally start saying I want Congress to see my financial records, you know, give me some kind of signal, something simple like a cough.
Sure, but won't a cough be distracting?
No, a cough is great. I mean, it's not like I'm gonna lose my mind when I hear a cough.
It's like a real-life episode of The Office. He's looking at the camera's going off. You have to give it to Trump. He might not be a good president, but he is a fantastic television professional. He knows his angles, he's giving them different line readings, he's changing it up. They're coming for my precious tax returns, and wait, who's coughing?
All right, let me take that again. They're coming for my precious tax returns. All right, that was the one.
Because the wind is high, it blows my mind.
Donald Trump has become obsessed with what he calls the I word. And this weekend, he quoted a surprising source. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Yesterday, Trump tweeted,
Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, quote, I think we have a very real risk of losing the presidency to Donald Trump. I agree. And that is the only reason they play the impeach card, which cannot be legally used.
That's right. He's right about that, John. Mm-hmm. That's why Article 1 of the Constitution reads, the House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment. Psych! This card cannot be legally used. Yeah, that's... But, second of all, wow, did AOC really say that? Answer, kinda. Here's the full clip Trump pulled his quote from.
Do you believe that Democrats will lose to Donald Trump if they don't nominate somebody who is, in your mind, a true progressive along the lines you just described?
Well, I think that we have a very real risk of losing the presidency to Donald Trump if we do not have a presidential candidate that is fighting for true transformational change in the lives of working people in the United States.
So he just quoted the first half of what she said and pretended it was the whole thing. It reminds me of this old tweet.
Charles Dickens says it was the best of times. I agree.
You know, there's this sort of controversy erupted today. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez referred to them as concentration camps. There was a bunch of Republicans saying they were outraged by the term. Your book is a history of concentration camps.
Mm-hmm.
I
would say that for 40 years before Auschwitz, we had concentration camps, things that were called concentration camps. What we're doing now fits very cleanly inside that tradition. At the same time, the death camps, which were on top of the existing concentration camp system, including Auschwitz and a series of other camps in which we had gas chambers, mass killings, that is a singular moment in history. And for the people that want to respect that, I think that's fine and that's important. If we want to call it irregular detention, if we want to call it extrajudicial detention, I don't think we have to get stuck on that term. The same thing is happening here now.
This is a weird one. Trump took time out this weekend to lash out at the New York Times. That's not the weird part. That he does twice a week. But he wrote, do you believe that the failing New York Times just did a story stating that the United States is substantially increasing cyber attacks on Russia? This is a virtual act of treason by a once great paper so desperate for a story, any story, even if bad, for our country. A virtual act of treason, says the man who openly invited a foreign enemy to hack his opponent in the election. But here's the funny part of it. And I read this story in the Times. I thought, oh, wow, good. We're finally doing something to fight back against these Russian cyber attacks. And then Trump said, not true. Anything goes with our corrupt news media today. They'll do or say whatever it takes with not even the slightest thought of consequence. These are true cowards and without a doubt the enemy of the people. So he says it is not true. We aren't going after Russia. But sources inside the Pentagon and the intelligence community told the Times the reason that he's saying it's not true is because they didn't tell him about this. They were hesitant to share the plan because he might discuss it with foreign officials and compromise the mission. Basically, they didn't tell him for the same reason my wife didn't tell my 4-year-old what they got me for Father's Day. So we're in good little hands, everybody.
Even intelligence officials don't trust Trump with sensitive information when it comes to Russia.
The United States is reportedly ramping up cyber attacks on Russia's electric power grid. And the New York Times says potentially crippling malware has been placed deeper into the Russian grid than ever before.
This from the New York Times story. Two administration officials said they believe Mr. Trump had not been briefed in any detail. Pentagon intelligence officials described broad hesitation to go into detail with Mr. Trump about operations against Russia for concern over his reaction and the possibility he might countermand it or discuss it with foreign officials.
Wow, they can't even give the President of the United States sensitive details about Russia because they're afraid he'll blab about it to Putin.
Impeachment in no way guarantees a president's removal from office. In fact, no president has ever actually been removed through this process. Two presidents have been impeached, Clinton and Johnson, but remained in office, and Nixon actually resigned on his own before the House could finish impeaching him. Here is how the impeachment process works. Typically, it begins with an inquiry in the House of Representatives, during which a committee investigates and holds hearings into a president's conduct. And if a majority decides they found impeachable offenses, they vote to impeach. But that is not the end. That merely moves the process to the Senate, where a trial is held. And the president is only removed from office if a 2/3 majority votes for that. So what is the case for putting this president through that process? Well, the Constitution says grounds for impeachment are treason, bribery, or high crimes and misdemeanors. And that last phrase can trip people up, even people who might really want to research its exact definition.
There was no crime. You know, it's high crimes. And not with or, it's high crimes and misdemeanors. There was no high crime and there was no misdemeanor. So how do you impeach based on that?
Okay. Clearly, high crimes and misdemeanors doesn't literally mean there has to be both a big crime and a little crime. Oh, well, the president's committed murder. Now we just need to catch him urinating on the side of a Wawa and we got him. No, that's not how anything works. Because the fact is, high crimes and misdemeanors can include acts that are not actual crimes. It is a broad term for serious misconduct. And Congress is currently looking into a wide range of Trump's potential misconduct, from campaign finance violations to whether or not he's used his office to enrich himself. But one area where we already have considerable evidence against Trump is obstruction of justice. It's a very serious allegation. It was among the articles of impeachment approved against both Nixon and Clinton. Obstruction was also half of Robert Mueller's report, in which he laid out 10 potential instances of it taking place. And we clearly don't have time to get into all 10. So let's just look at one involving Don McGahn, who was Trump's White House counsel. McGahn's appearance in the Mueller report got a lot of attention when it first came out, primarily because of one eye-catching quote.
Former White House counsel Don McGahn, he refused to ask Rod Rosenstein to fire Mueller and threatened to resign instead after the president asked him to do, quote, crazy, using a word that I can't use on TV.
The word is Don McGahn said the president, and I quote, asked him to do crazy. But that phrase actually became unhelpfully distracting because the fact the president's lawyer said a naughty word kept people from focusing on the details of what Trump actually asked him to do, which many argue amounted to flagrant obstruction. Trump asked McGahn to have Robert Mueller, the person investigating him, fired. Specifically, according to McGahn, under oath, Trump told him, Mueller has to go, adding, call me back when you do it, then calling him back and asking, have you done it? So this is clearly something very important to Trump. This was something Trump was really serious about. But the potential obstruction didn't stop there, because a second instance Mueller cited came after news broke that Trump had tried to remove Mueller. And Trump tried to get McGahn to put out a statement denying it, and also said he wanted McGahn to write a letter to that effect for our records. So, to recap there, it seems the president obstructed justice, then obstructed justice again to try to obstruct the investigation into his obstruction of justice. It's ridiculous. I know that this might seem like a legal technicality and a couple of phone calls that didn't go anywhere, but here's why this really matters. But for Don McGahn, Trump might have stopped an investigation into himself. And if a president can shut down an investigation, he can basically do anything with no consequences. It's a big, big deal. And I know that we've all become numb to Trump by this point, but moments like that really shock you out of your stupor and make you think, oh, hang on, that guy's got to be impeached. We've got to impeach him. And look, should Democrats let House investigations play out a little further before they make a move? I don't know, maybe. There's an argument for that. That strategy certainly paid off during Watergate, but later can't mean never. Because the case for inaction here is starting to get pretty weak.
Now, impeachment talk is increasing among the Democrats, and it's begun to divide the party. Some members of the House want Trump impeached immediately, but Speaker Nancy Pelosi is resisting these calls, saying, I don't want to see him impeached. I want to see him in prison.
He thought he was the smartest guy in town, but I found out last Monday that Bob got locked up Sunday. Got him in the jailhouse way downtown. He's in the jailhouse now.
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 I told him once or twice to quit playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now.
Keeps going on TV and giving us more evidence against him. Meanwhile, Democrats are having a weird debate over whether they should impeach him or focus on beating him in 2020. If anything, it seems like the answer is simple.
You do both.
President Trump kicking off his reelection campaign at a massive rally in Florida.
Tonight, you saw the president actually poll the audience by applause onto what his slogan should be.
Now I'm saying, what do we use as our theme, as our statement? Let me just hear by your cheers what you like. First, we do Make America Great Again. Let me hear it. Ready? Make America Great Again. Not bad. Not bad. Destroy our country as we know it. Pretty good. Bad. Health insurance. Impeach him. Thank you.
Truly exist. I cry watching the days. Can't you see?
you go. There's something I want you to have.
Oh, it's beautiful. But wait a minute, isn't this?
Yeah, yes it is.
But I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the air.
Well, baby, I went down and got it for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.